Good morning, everybody. Morning. And it is a good morning because this morning we get to talk about our adoption into the family of God, which is exciting. Open your Bibles to John 3, verse 1, and we're going to get started. And let's ask a question real quick. Why is our adoption into the family of God so significant? Well, it tells us a lot of things about our current status with God. Since we are God's children, we know that God interacts with us as a father to a child. We also know that God values us and treasures us as his children. But it also tells us how God interacts with us in this life. He disciplines us as his children, and he expects us to live as his children. And that is why John now brings up the adoption in this third chapter of the book of 1 John. He's been spending a lot of time talking about the fact that we are to walk in the light as God is in the light. We are to keep his commandments. We are to love one another. We are to remain faithful. And in 1 John 2:29, he says this: if you know that he, God, is righteous, then you know this as well. Everyone who does right is born of God. So he draws a connection between the family of God and their behavior, a connection between who they are and what they do. And then John dives into a discussion of the adoption because he doesn't want us to get the cart before the horse. Okay? He doesn't want us to leave thinking we do what we do so that we will be adopted. But rather, he wants us to stand that what we do is a result of who we are. Open your Bibles to John 3:1. He says this: look at how great a love the Father has given us that we should be called his children. And we are. Let's just break that down for a minute. Look. John calls us to pause in the midst of the discussion of faithfulness and action. He says, stop and consider how great a love the Father has given us. Well, how great is the love that the Father has given us? It's displayed on the cross. It was the sacrifice of the Son to redeem God's people. And Isaiah puts it well in Isaiah 53 when he describes Jesus saying, he bore our sicknesses and he carried our pains, yet we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. Yet he was pierced because of our transgressions. He was crushed because of our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was upon him, and we are healed by his wounds. Isaiah captured it well. The cost was high. It was great. It was significant. And what has cost God much, we can never consider cheap. How great a love the Father has given us is captured in the fact that he gave his only begotten Son to die on a cross for us, to redeem us. But let's not skip that next part, the importance of understanding that it is given. We did not earn it. We were not born into God's family based on our actions. No, it was a gift. And that makes it even more incredible. Because God didn't wait until we had done enough to adopt us into his family. He did it on his own. And its result is that we should be called God's children, which is an incredible title. And an incredible change. Because it would have been enough, more than enough. It would have been gracious to us if he had just brought us from death into life, if he had just forgiven us our sins and we had become the servants of his kingdom. It would have been enough, but not to God. Rather, he would make us his children, his family. And that is something incredibly special. And the good news about that is what John says next, these three words, and we are. Isn't that exciting, church? That we are God's children? That he is our Father in heaven? No taskmaster, but a father. And it brings us to our first point. Our adoption is a gift. It was given to us. And I think of the movie, the movie Annie, which is about a girl named Annie. And Annie is what, church? An orphan. And she lives in this absolutely horrible orphanage. Words can't even describe. They spend their day cleaning. They wear rags. The head of their orphanage is oppressive and cool. And then one day, a man named Oliver Warbucks shows up. And he chooses to adopt Annie. But Annie hadn't done anything to earn adoption. Rather, he showed up wanting to. And he did. And God's the same way. We didn't earn it. God shows up and accomplishes it because he desires to adopt his people into his family. And so we are God's children now. But we're still in the midst of a change. And that's what John dives into next. As we go on the second half of verse 1, he says this. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. Well, who did the world not know? Jesus. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Jesus showed up, and he was God the Son, and he lived a perfect life, and he taught with authority, and he did miracles. And then he died on a cross, and the world was oblivious to who he was. And the point that John is drawing out here is, yes, we are God's children, but if the world could not recognize Jesus, it will not recognize us as such. There's no way, it can't. As long as we live in human flesh, the world doesn't recognize the family of God. And this draws attention between what has been accomplished already on our behalf and what we will become. John goes on in verse 2, "Dear friends, we are God's children now." That's exciting. Now. You are already in God's family. And what we will be has not yet been revealed. So we're in God's family, but we're still in the midst of a transformation. And we're not completely sure what that transformation will end up looking like. But what we do know is this. We know that when he appears, Jesus, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. So we don't know exactly what we will be like when we are perfected, but we do know one thing, we will be like Jesus. And the reason we don't know completely what that looks like is because we haven't had the opportunity yet to encounter the glorified Jesus. The apostles, they encountered the Jesus who walked among us in flesh, but Jesus has become even more in his glorified state. But there's something we need to draw from this fact. One, our transformation is not done. We're not finished yet. And we won't be finished until we encounter Jesus Christ face to face. So unless he returns in our lifetime, it won't happen here. And two, we don't accomplish it. It is accomplished when we see him, which means God finishes it. God adopted us by his love, and he will finish his work by his love. Not by our action, not by what we earn. And that's important in the discussion of John, because John has been telling us this is what a believer is supposed to be and to do. But they don't do those things to become God's family. They do those things because they are God's family. And so what is, if we don't earn our adoption and we don't accomplish our perfection, what then does the believer do, right? He says this in verse 3, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Well, what is this hope? That we will one day be perfected like Jesus. We will one day be like him. God will finish this. Paul says at one point, the work that he has begun in you, he will continue until the day of Jesus Christ. God finishes this, but he will do it in his time. Our role then is to, one, have that hope. We have that hope that one day God will finish what he has started. And that's awesome. I don't know about you guys, but that's so liberating to me that I don't have to finish it, that I don't have to, in this life, accomplish perfection because I'm really bad at it. But God's going to finish what he started in me and in you. When? When we see Jesus. And so what is our role? John says we purify ourselves
as he is pure. Now, I mean, John's just already ruled out the fact we will not be completely pure. And in John 1, 1 John 1, he's explained to us, you will not even be completely sinless. Even as you walk in the light and you have fellowship with one another, what? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all unrighteousness. So us purifying ourselves is not an act of accomplishing perfection, but an act of devotion. And the understanding what it means is caught in the phrase, just as he is pure. The Christian life then is one of hope and devotion in which we imitate our Savior, Jesus Christ. And since he is pure, we seek to be like he was. And that's our third point. Our adoption is transformative. We're in the middle of it. It's happening now. We didn't start it, and we won't be able to complete it, but our role in it is to participate. And what does that look like? John goes on, and he says this in verse 4. Everyone who commits sin also breaks the law. Sin is the breaking of the law. You know that he was revealed so that he might take away sins, and there is no sin in him. Everyone who remains in him does not sin. Everyone who sins has not seen him or known him. Now, is John talking about the act of sin? No, because he's already told us. If we say we have no sin, we are what? Liars. He said that in the first chapter. He also told us if we say that we have no sin, we make God a liar. And so that is not what John is talking about. We'd have to be putting John against John. But we also, the English here fails to capture what the Greek is saying. John's idea of sin here is something continuous, something that keeps going. It's not an action, it's a lifestyle. In short, it's those who walk in darkness. And what did John say of those who walk in darkness? If we say that we have fellowship with him, God, and we walk in darkness, we are what? Lying. Because you can't do both. And so those who have been adopted into the family of God do not walk in darkness. Why? Well, we know that he, Jesus, was revealed so that he might take away sins, and there is no sin in him. Jesus didn't sin. He came to defeat sin, to destroy sin. It's bound on our life. And if we are living out our lives in imitation of Christ, we cannot walk in darkness, since he was pure and he was holy. And since all those who were adopted into the family of God live their lives to imitate Jesus, we also cannot walk in darkness. It's good news. But there's another thing. He says this. Everyone who remains in him does not sin. Everyone who sins has not seen him or known him. Now, what does John mean by remains in him? Well, fortunately, John has explained this. If you go back up to 2:24, he says this. What you have heard from the beginning must... What have you heard from the beginning? The good news of the gospel, Jesus Christ. What you have heard from the beginning must remain in you. And if what you have heard from the beginning remains in you, then you will remain in the Son and in the Father. Not might, not possibly, you will remain in the Son and the Father. It's faithfulness. You're keeping what has been given to you, that good news of the gospel, in you. And the result is that you remain in the Son. In contrast, those who walk in darkness cannot claim to have known or to have seen Jesus. And he goes on, little children, let no one deceive you. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who commits sin, again, continuously committing sin, living the lifestyle of sin, walking in darkness, is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. What does he mean? The devil started this. He rebelled against God. And it's not like he rebelled once. He rebelled, and then he has continuously rebelled to this day. His very work is to go against God. All of his actions are centered in opposition. He's an open enemy of our Lord and Savior and our Father in heaven. It's what he does continuously. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the devil's works. And so everyone who has been born of God does not sin, because his seed remains in him, he is not able to sin. Because he has been born of God. This is how God's children and the devil's children are made evident. So John's just added to it. We have God's seed in us. We have been born again. We have new life. Regeneration and the indwelling Holy Spirit. We cannot go on, if we have been adopted into the family of God, walking in darkness. It is not possible. It cannot be accomplished. Too much has changed within the family of God for that to be a thing. But rather, those who continue to walk in darkness are of a different household. It's the devils. Because they live according to their father in open rebellion. And we see this in our world. Not just that people sin, but that sin is an acceptable way of living life in our world. But we have changed houses. We have been adopted. And if we think about Orphan Annie for a minute, Orphan Annie went from cleaning dirty floors in an orphanage to living in a mansion. And us returning to walking in darkness would be about as absurd as Annie getting up in the morning, putting on her dirty rags, and trying to clean the entire mansion. That life is over. A new life has begun, and it is fundamentally different. We are children of God now, and we will live like it if it is true in us. And so this is how God's children and the devil's children are made evident. Not that their works determine which house they are in, but rather their works prove which house they are in. And so, if you've been following along, this is our third point. Our adoption leads us to walk in the light. It leads us to walk in the light. And so, how does this fit into the book of John? Because John has been telling us a lot of important things that believers do. They do walk in light. They do keep the Lord's commandments. They confess their sins. They love one another. They remain faithful rather than leaving. And they abide in him. And the thing is, if we see any of these things in the book of 1 John, and we say, this is not me, what John's teaching on the adoption tells us is that the solution cannot be do better or work harder. The solution must be a spiritual matter. It's an issue of our adoption. And so if we do not walk in light, there is not an issue of behavior, but of faith at work. And it requires some examination for each person. And so ask yourselves that. Is my life reflecting what John says the sons and daughters of God do? Because if it does not, then now is a good time not to fix your behavior, but to check your relationship. Because God is the only one who can equip us and change us enough for us to ever do what is right or righteous. And so I challenge you, if we've gone through anything in John and you've been like, that's not me, it's a good time now to approach the Father and discuss that with him. And if you find that you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now is a good time to do that. But good news, if we have gone through 1 John and you have looked at it and you have said, hey, I do this. I do try to keep his commandments. I do try to be like Jesus. I find that in my life. There is that fruit, that evidence. That is good news. You are sons and daughters of God. And that's something. First, be encouraged. Delight in that. Your Father is absolutely incredible. There is nothing that compares to him or his love for you. Enjoy that. But also, set your mind to being like Jesus, who is your firstborn amongst many brothers. He's not only our Savior, he's the model for our lives. The first, which we aspire and will one day be turned into. And hopefully that covers everybody. It should. It is everybody. So if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, we encourage you guys, first, pray. And second, as we continue to go through John, come talk to us. But as we continue to go through John, remember, and in your lives, remember, your adoption has transformed you. It has changed your life. Be like Jesus. Represent your Father in heaven. Be his child. That is our God's will for our lives. And so we're going to go from this into a time of prayer and offering. Bow your heads. Lord God, you are great and you are good and you are wonderful and you are holy and you are our Father in heaven. And your love is radical and life-changing, and it has saved us, and we praise you, for we did not deserve you and we did not earn you. But you have bought us back and brought us into your family. To you be the glory. We pray now, Father, that you would take this time to challenge us to be better children, to live as though our adoption is real, because it is, to represent you, our Father in heaven, rejoicing that you are our Father and our Father is good. And Lord God, if our lives do not reflect your family, we pray that you would work in us. That if we are not in your family, that you would confront us. And we give you the glory. We ask that you bless this time to follow, this time of worship and of giving. In your most holy and precious name. Amen.